Dear Heavenly Father, as we get into your word, we ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us so we may understand it, so we may understand you better, so that whatever we do in life, we can put you first and be ready for your soon coming. Oh Lord, as we are dealing with a pandemic right now, we ask that you show that the world is still in your hands. Be with those who are essential workers, those in the medical field. Be with our world leaders, be with our spiritual and religious leaders, and be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Exodus chapter 33. And I'm going to actually start with verse 11. Verse 11. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how will it be known that your people, that I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So shall we be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth?" So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." And he said, "Please show me your glory." Then he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see my face and live." And the Lord said, "Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." So Exodus chapter 33, I find it really amazing and special in the fact that the first verse I read, it said that God spoke to Moses as a friend speaks to a friend face to face. You may have even noticed even in my prayer that, but I usually pray that a lot. I pray, until we see you face to face. It's interesting that Moses felt that relationship with God so much that he actually has the boldness to ask to see God's glory. And God, in his mercy and compassion, says, "Well, you can't see me because, you know, you have a sin-filled body, and yeah, my glory is just too much. If you see it, you will immediately die." I mean, if you read Isaiah chapter 6 or the beginning of Revelation, when us as humans are in the presence, even the presence of God, we start to feel the weight of our sin and our inadequacy. It becomes so much. Here, Moses is asking, you know, I want to see you, God. And it gets to the point where God says, "Okay, but you can't see me, but I'll let you see my back by putting you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you, and I will pass." And if you know the story, you know that when this happened, Moses goes down to see the Israelites, and his face is just glowing just because he got to see just a little piece of God's glory. The reason I was bringing this up is because I just want us to always remember that God wants to be our friend. God wants to be our friend. God loves us so much that he just wants to hang out with us. So for some strange reason that even I can't figure out the answer to, this is for some strange reason, God wants to hang out with you. I don't know about you guys. Some of you might have just recently graduated from college. Maybe it's not a few years for some of you, but one of the most stressful times I've ever had was having a roommate. You know, the school assigns it to you, and usually for some weird reason, I don't know how it is, the random of the draw or the lottery of the system of picking out a roommate that isn't, if you don't have a roommate that is your friend, or you prepared to have this roommate, you know, if it's just assigned to you, oh man, good luck. But for some strange reason, when that happens, it's like the opposite person from your personality. If you are OCD and a clean freak, you have the roommate that is the most sloppiest person you'll ever meet. I mean, I even imagine it in my mind, like you are such an OCD person, and then the first time you meet your roommate, he's eating a bag of Doritos, and then he says, "Hey, Eric, how you doing?" He goes like this, and you know, to shake your hand. And I know during the pandemic now, we all are cognizant of, you know, shaking hands, but before then, you know, if you have Doritos, this does not constitute the clean hand for you to shake my hand. Or, you know, you like to have your clothes in your space. You don't want to walk into your room and find your roommate's sock on your bed. That happened to me before, and I was not too pleased. And the reason I'm using this example is because, yes, I was forced into this dorm room with this roommate, but I knew for a fact that once I left college, or once I left even that room, I would not be hanging out with my roommate. I would not want to be around him. I would not want to see him, because we are completely opposite. Now, Jesus wants to be your roommate. And how hard will it be if your personality and your ways are so contrasting from his ways that even Jesus is like, man, I can't hang out with you. I mean, you think your sin is okay, and then what your sin really is just like a Dorito-filled hand trying to shake God's hand. And you think that just by doing this, you know, a quick forgive me, Lord, will be good enough to shake his hand. And all Jesus can see is all that sin on your hand. So when I read Exodus 33, it reminds me that not only that God wants to be our friend, but man, how much do I have to be more like Jesus so I can hang out with him? Because that's what heaven is. Heaven is eternity without Jesus, eternity with Jesus, without ever being from his presence. That's what I meant to say. There will never be a time where he will not have access to you, that you will not be able to see him face to face. And if you can't hang out with him now, oh man, you would have a tough time in heaven. I'll end on this. In Jude, it says that when Moses died, Michael came to the tomb of Moses and basically contested with the devil for his body. Jesus was such a good friend of Moses that even though while Moses during his life could not see Jesus, could not see God, and he only got to see that back, as we read in the story in Exodus 33, immediately, well, we don't know if it's immediately, but not too shortly after his own death, Jesus actually misses Moses so much that he actually resurrects him, and they finally see each other face to face. And they have been together from then till now, except for the 33 years that Jesus was on earth. And even then, Moses, as a good friend, showed up at the Mount of Transfiguration to support Jesus's ministry. So that's what I wanted to say. I wanted to say how we sometimes like to look at God as omnipotent, omnipotent, omnipresent, and those are true. But man, there is no better friend than God. No better friend than Jesus. All right. Yeah, that's all I wanted to say. I see some people said they could relate to having a roommate from, I don't want to say from hell, but that's the statement that is used a lot. You know, the roommate from hell. You know, they, you know, you can imagine, like, you go into the dorm room, they're cutting their toenails, and you're just like, no, please, anything but this. Oh, yes. Jody says to pray from for Canada, what happened in, I believe, Nova Scotia this past weekend. Oh, but it looks like Reggie wants to share.
Yeah, I wanted to point out, just considering what Moses possibly felt, when I went over to Buffalo, New York, and I went to Niagara Falls on the American side, there was this, the falls, you don't realize from television, but the falls actually rumble the ground for miles before you get to the actual falls. And as you get closer to the falls, the rumbling becomes heavier. And I remember feeling so weak in my knees when I got close to the where falls were located, because I felt, it's my natural feeling, I felt unworthy to see the falls, because there was so much power coming off that you wouldn't even before you even got to the falls, you felt power of the falls. And to think that God created something that he's greater still than the falls. So this, how much more powerful is it to be in the presence of God?
That's right.
So it allowed me to reflect on that point.
Yeah. But I would also like to say in response to that is, yes, God is so powerful, but what I see in Exodus 33 is Moses understanding that. I mean, he got to see it. I mean, Mount Sinai, when it was thunder and lightning and earthquakes, Moses was there with the Israelites. Yet Moses, loving God so much, says, I want to see your glory because I want to be close to you. I want to know you. And because of that desire, God does not withhold himself from him to the point that he can withstand. And when Moses passes away, God can't wait to see him again and brings him back. To the friendship is just so mutual and strong in that sense. I see an X from Matthew too.
Yeah, I really like the friend of God topic. We see it in James 2:23 as well. As you were saying, it reminds same thing happened with Abraham. He said, paraphrase, Abraham believed God and it was credited him as righteousness. And then it says, and he was called a friend of God as well. And so it kind of goes along that. I know Israel Houghton did a song, I'm a friend of God. He called me friend. He really does want to have that intimate relationship with us because he created us for a relationship. You know, he doesn't, you know, he wants us to have that relationship with him. So it's not just this, you know, always this rule, follow, you know, do it so you don't, you know, be on God's bad side. He wants to call you by name and know you and have that kind of walk. So we see it with Moses, we see it with Abraham, or, you know, that kind of close intimacy that we today can have with God. So it's always good to be reminded of that.
Yeah. And Matthew, you mentioned, you know, the rules. I see them as like likening it back to the roommate analogy. I've always, when my young people back at my home church would ask about, you know, why all these rules? And I would be like, listen, God wants to be roommates with us, but he can't handle the dirt that we would put upon him.
And so true. Yeah.
So it's like, he's like telling us, do this, do that. It's like, listen, if I was the best roommate you ever had and I was paying for your dorm room and I was paying for your college, I would have a list like, listen, don't shake my hand with Dorito fingers, man. don't wipe it on your shirt. Don't lick them. And no, you gotta, first of all, we're not even gonna be handshaking. We're gonna be fist bumping. And if you're gonna eat your Doritos, don't fist bump me until you wash your hands and, you know, wait another 30 minutes because I'm gonna be thinking in my mind about your Dorito fingers, even though you get what I'm going. I'm just using, you know, what comes to mind. And I think that's what God is using. He's saying, listen, I want to be your roommate, but you gotta change these things so I can be in your presence.
Yeah. Yeah. And people get hung up on the changes, but they don't see that he's doing it to better us because he wants that close relationship. So that's a really good analogy as well.
Yeah. Right. I see Jacob says he has a noisy background, but he'd love to talk.
Just let me know if it gets a little bit too noisy. I'm out for a walk right now. But one thing that I really like about the analogy that you're using is when we get to heaven, how it's going to be our life, how it's going to be changed. And it's really not going to be nothing at all like how we live here on earth. Everything is going to be completely different. It says that the only thing we're taking to heaven is our personality, our character. And aside from that, well, we have to learn how to live like we'd live in heaven, because here you can see nature. I think like Reggie was saying, the falls. You tend to appreciate nature, but sometimes you tend to put down your neighbor. It's like up in heaven, everybody's going to be your neighbor. There's no nitpicking who you're going to choose. So to start developing your heart from here, and to start developing that sense of love to your neighbor, to nature, and to just your surroundings overall.
Yeah.
So once I figured this out in my religion class, it just changed the whole meaning of the Bible for me, because it's like this text, the Bible, is basically just a guideline for how I'm going to live in heaven one day.
Yeah, it's definitely something I've been thinking a lot about lately, because I remember, I don't know if you guys seen it, like in certain shows, South Park or things like that, they always make it seem like heaven will just be, you know, people on clouds and liking it to being a boring place, while those who believe in eternal hell will be like, it'll be, you know, a lot of fire and hot, but it'll actually be more interesting than what heaven would be. And so I started really looking into this, and I just was like, man, that's not true. Heaven will be extremely interesting. It's just that the people who are saying that heaven won't be interesting are people who don't want to hang out with Jesus. If you want to hang out with Jesus, heaven will be an amazing place. If you want to hang out with Jesus now, heaven will be paradise, because that's when you will not be withheld from his presence. That's when you'll get to see him at all times. And all the other people that are there with you, their favorite subject to talk about is him. I don't know about you, but maybe you might have a friend that you have that when you first were meeting each other and talking to each other, it was awkward because you didn't find what you had in common. For me, like I mentioned last week, you know, I'm a comic book nerd. So if I meet somebody new, I'm a very big introvert. But if you start talking about Batman the Animated Series or something, like, I'm going to start talking like I'm an extrovert. And I think that's how it's going to be in heaven. We're all going to be able to relate to each other no matter what our background is, because our favorite topic is going to be about Jesus. Like, I'll be able to talk to Matthew, even though I may not know him personally or what has happened in his life. He's going to be like, man, this place is awesome, because we get to hang out with Jesus. And I'll be like, yeah, yeah, that's right. And then we'll talk about, you know, how what Jesus done in my life. And then he'll talk about what Jesus has done. That's what our days are going to be like. It's just going to be. And then after that, we actually go talk to Jesus. Nothing better. All right. And Reggie says Static Shock was the best cartoon outside Venom. This is what happens. As a youth pastor, I like to liken things to some things in pop culture. But then when you do that, now everybody only wants to talk about the pop culture. So, you know, you mentioned Harry Potter. And then next thing you know, they don't want to ask about Jesus. They want to ask what house you're from. And you're like, oh, man, Ravenclaw. But anyway, if anybody else wants to add something.
All right, Reggie.
All right. Yeah, with that, I think, yeah, I will just say, yeah, I think we should be more like Moses. We should understand that we are sin-filled beings, but having that boldness to want to be in God's presence will motivate us to continually turn to him in prayer, to change what is keeping us from his presence, to feel the weight of that and say, man, I don't want this thing that is keeping me from him. I want to get rid of it so I can be with him. And having that desire to see him face to face and just spend eternity with him. That's what I wanted to say. And I know, I think we're taking prayer requests and praise. Well, Matthew said he had a praise to share.
Yeah, praise report. Yeah, so yesterday my mom got a call from one of my cousins, and my cousin, she's an atheist, and she does not really want to have anything to do with God at all, but she reached out for prayer for someone in the family that's really not doing well physically. It's really, really dire. And she said, yeah, we're calling you because we know you'll pray for us. So I'm kind of seeing a softening of her heart there a little bit. So that in itself is a praise. So continue to pray for her salvation. Her name is Lauren. So we've been praying for her for years, and that her heart softens during this time. So I'm seeing some signs of it slowly but surely. So a praise and a prayer right there, kind of two in one. So,
amen. Amen.
Continue to pray for Lauren, Matthew.
Will do, for sure.
All right. With that, I think I'll close this out with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you love us so much, that you want us to be your roommate, no matter what we've done in our past or maybe even in our future. You want to hang out with us. So, oh Lord, we ask that you continue to reside in our hearts and in our minds. Remind us that there is something that's keeping us from your presence, and that is sin. Help us to detest it like you do, so that we can continually come to you with all our problems, all our thoughts, all our desires, so that we can have a close, intimate relationship with you, that we can slowly change to be more like you, and we can truly be a good roommate to you. Oh Lord, we ask that you continue to be with the world as we're going through a pandemic. We ask that you be with Nova Scotia in a special way as they went through a massive tragedy this past weekend. We ask that you Watch over the families that lost loved ones and those who are losing loved ones due to this pandemic as well. Oh Lord, we still uplift Lauren that Matthew has mentioned. We're seeing your work being done, but oh Lord, we know that we, even while you're doing great things, we need to continually come to you and say thank you, but also that you continue to do your work. Thank you for allowing us to meet together on Zoom and through this virtual devotional class. We ask that you be with everyone who is here and those who could make it as we go back to our own home communities and homes. Continue to be there with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.